This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
All right, wake up, everybody. Thanks for coming out. It's a beautiful day. It's a hot summer. It means a lot to us that you come out and spend this day with us. I know these days are rare here in Alaska. It's been hard for me to accept what's coming. Oh, I know. Denial. All right, so we've been going through the Beatitudes a little bit, kind of using them as a model of recovery, going through them, really have enjoyed that very much. So I hope a couple of you at least pull up Matthew 5, verse 8 on your Bible so we can hear a couple of different versions. Max Lucado tells a story, and I actually borrow from him a bit on some of these Beatitudes, because I just love his take on the Beatitudes. But he talks about him and his wife. They were missionaries in some super hot place. And he said they had a freezer, and that freezer was full of meat. And on top of the freezer was a ham radio, and this was in their little hut. And they were going to leave and be gone for a week. So he thought, I know, I'll go in and unplug the radio so it's not plugged in the whole week we're gone. Right. So he unplugs it, and they're gone for a week. As you know, as you're thinking, it was the freezer he unplugged. So when they got back, he said, his wife went to cook something, and she goes for the freezer, and two letters, P-U, right? P-U. He said it was just super overwhelming, really gross. And so his wife told him, you know, you're the one that was the genius that unplugged it, so you're going to be the one to clean it up. And so he did, he felt like what he should do. Obviously, he said, put a bunch of refrigerator magnets on the outside, make it look really nice, wipe it down, problem solved, right? This is what he was saying in the book. And he said when he opened it, to his shock, it still reeked, you know. It might even have been worse. And so he uses all these analogies of, you know, bringing other appliances around that maybe would encourage it. You know, putting a Mercedes sticker on the outside of it. And he just said, none of these things worked. I thought it was a really good example because he said when it came down to it, that thing had to be opened up, gutted out, you know, soap and water and rags, and that thing had to be clean from the inside out. Pretty cool, huh? So from the Message Bible, I'll show you Matthew 5, verse 8, what I've got. And hopefully a couple of you have another version. But this one here, I really, really like this. It says, you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart, put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. I really like that. That's really cool. Who else has Matthew 5, verse 8 that wants to read it out loud? Different version than that. Yes?
From the English Standard Version, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Awesome. Well, I like that. Blessed are the pure in heart. Trying to study this, trying to look at this, you look at the word sanctification, which is a Christian word. And the idea of sanctification is to be called out for your intended use and purpose, right? To go through this process where you're becoming what you already are. It's pretty cool stuff. And we started off the Beatitudes. And I had a few of them up here last week, kind of showed the process of the Beatitudes as they refer to recovery. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And Max Lucado says that's where we enter God's soup kitchen. I really, really like that. That's wonderful. I love that picture. I don't know about you, but I got really tired of my own methods, my own ways of thinking of how to solve my own problem, how to get my own needs met. Remember where Jesus is when he's saying this. Anybody remember what we kept talking about where Jesus is when he's giving these? Anybody? He's on a mountain. So God on a mountainside, giving truth. You know, I really, really like this. And his climbing companions are there with him, listening to what he has to say. And there was a day in my life when there's no way I'm going to climb the mountainside to hear what he has to say, because I already know what I need to be okay, you know? I need just one more bag, you know. I need one more relationship. I need one more promotion. I need a little more hair, you know. I need to gain a little bit of weight. I need to lose a little bit of weight. You know, whatever it is, I already know what I need to be okay. But he's up there telling us what it really takes, what he's really got, how it works. And I came to the place where I hope many of you are, where I'm listening to what he has to say. God on a mountainside giving us wisdom. I want to hear his wisdom. The next one is, blessed are they that mourn, where we come to terms with our brokenness. We come to terms with it. Blessed are they that mourn, to me, looks like me sitting down in a group of people saying, hi, my name is Stan, and I struggle with drug addiction. You know, this is the reality that it came down to, where I admitted my brokenness. I admitted what's going on within me. Blessed are the meek. And we talked about that, about the war horse, about that power under control of its rider, and how when we take what we have and what we are and we submit it to God, then he can do what no one else can do, and he actually makes us look really, really good. And I think Derek used the example of a guitar in a pawn shop being played by an expert, and how you don't even notice the broken strings and how ragged out it is because this dude can play so good. You know, that's what God does with our lives when we let him handle us and him take us over. Then we have, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. When you do submit your life to God, when you do give him who you are, and you let him give you who he is, you get new appetites, right? You desire new things. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for what? For rightness. Suddenly I begin to want my own rightness. Suddenly I begin to want other people's rightness. I want it right with you, right? I want it right with me. I want rightness. I want rightness in the community. I want rightness in my church. I want rightness in the world. And you begin wanting the things that God wants, and you want it in a way that's way bigger than what you can do on your own. You want it. There's something deep down inside of you. I don't want a TV dinner anymore. I want a feast. I want kingdom of God kind of food. I want something deep and nourishing that only God can give me. And God gives you those desires. That's a pretty powerful thing, guys. That's a pretty powerful thing, guys. And that's one of the things about the underground that I've always loved, is for people to come to a Sunday evening service, you got to be somewhat hungry. It's a little different than the morning. I mean, people come in the morning, they're hungry, they want something, but it can be different. You come to an evening service, you want something. You're after something. And we feel that hunger here, and I love being around hungry people. I really do. The one we talked about last week was, blessed are the merciful. And that's where we have won the lottery, and we're now sharing that with others. Right? You've won the ticket. I mean, you got the ticket that wins. And you're so excited that you're sharing that with people around you. He's saying, I want you to be merciful. Understand how you got what you got. And I want you to give it. I love that picture. And so we saw last week how the Beatitudes, it's not a checklist. The Beatitudes is a way of life. It's a way of living. And tonight's blessed are the pure in heart. Pure in heart. What do you think of when you think of blessed are the pure in heart? What comes to your mind? And this is something to really think on, because it's a big canopy, and we could go after this in many different ways. But I started seeing words when I looked up the Greek, because I'm so spiritual, that's what I do. I look up the Greek, just kidding. I saw things like uncontaminated, okay? Unmixed, okay? Not being double-minded. Right? Okay, that's different. How about this? Being pruned. Okay, now I'm starting to see something. Imagine a plant being pruned. The pure of heart. Focused. Okay, now I'm really starting to get it, right? Without distraction. I'm really, really liking this. And this kind of correlates with the story. Matthew 13 tells us about a merchant who's looking for expensive gems, fine gems. And he finds a pearl of such great price, right, that he sells everything to get it. Now, understanding this, if you understand, like, number one, what I like about it is the guy was looking. He was looking. He was searching for these gems. Again, God on a mountainside. I found that when I'm actually looking, and I'm really, now I'm looking, I'm seeking God. I want what he has. I'm listening. He's right there. It's right there. Wisdom's everywhere. It's all over the place. It's in the silent trees where the wind's blowing. It's everywhere around us. God's wisdom is all over us and all around us. It was me that needed to tune my ear in. This guy was looking for fine gems, and when he saw it, what he saw was way more valuable than what he thought he was looking for. And it was in a magnitude, it was so big that, check this out, guys, does his response seem extreme? To sell everything to get it. I want you to know that what Jesus is talking about, the kingdom of God and this pearl of great price, this guy's response was proper. It was the right response. And for us to be handed the kingdom of God, a new identity, the gospel message, for us to actually see it, to even grab it, I want you to know, to sell everything, to give everything, to have singleness of mind, single focus, one thing in your entire life is the gospel message in the kingdom of God. I want you to know that response is the proper response, because you actually see its value and what it is you're looking at. Just a glimpse of what you're looking at, because the gospel is the too good to be true being true. For you, the gospel is God being your biggest fan, finding that out. The gospel is you being in a street fight and you're way outmatched, and God shows up rolling his sleeves up and he's ready to fight for you. Okay? The gospel is you're standing in a court of law, all the evidence is against you, you're done. And God steps up next to you in a three-piece suit, and he is your attorney. Some pretty good news there. I remember, every time I see that, I remember being in a courtroom, kind of half out of it, being arraigned. I was guilty. I had a mess going on, had lots of stuff happening, a lot of time I was possibly looking at, but I was scrambled. All part of the crack addiction epidemic down in South Florida. I remember standing up, my time to be arraigned, and I stand up, and the judge says, you know, Sanborn, you're being charged with blah, 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 blah. How do you plead? And I remember when I was going to say whatever my pathetic thing was I was going to say, this woman, really nicely dressed, and seemed to really know what was going on, stepped in front of me and said, not guilty. And I'm like, where'd you come from? This was awesome. I mean, all of a sudden, I just felt like, okay, someone's got my back. I need some more information. I'm being really cared about. I want you to know, when you're really in that position, that's some good news. I mean, it just feels really, really awesome. The gospel is you being an orphan in an orphanage, rejected, unwanted, fighting and scratching to get your needs met every day, and discovering that God is really your father, and he's on his way to come get you. This is the gospel message, and it's worth everything. It is the kind of power that gives us the ability to do what we call 180, to turn from, I will be okay if, and you fill in the blank, I'll be okay if I make some more blasted money. I'll be okay if my kids would respect me. I'll be okay if I get in that college. I'll be okay if, you just fill in the blank. The gospel has the power to change us from I'll be okay if to I am okay because. I have worth because. What God's done for me, I can't do for me because of who he's made me to be. This is the 180 that people call repentance. We talk about it. It's called repentance. And it's a 180 in change of our motivation, of why we do what we do. Paul says in his letters, and we're talking about pure of heart, right? So we got to just kind of hammer down, right, guys? Let's just hammer down, right? Talks about not lying, not stealing, not cheating, not gossiping about your buddies, not running around having sex with everybody, that kind of stuff. Talks about all this stuff. Don't do those things. Why? And when we read that, those things are found in the second half of Paul's letters. Okay? When we read that, first thing we want to do is go, I get it. Read what it tells me not to do, and then try super hard not to do it. Read what Jesus did, and then try super hard to be like that. That's what it's telling me to do. That's the list it just gave me, right? That's my motivation. I get it, and that's not what he's telling us at all. Not at all. The answer is found in the beginning of his letters to us, which describes to us and tells us that you, as a new creation, as a brand new person, with a brand new identity, have now a new potential. You have a new potential. That you, the old person you were, died with Jesus, and you have been raised as a new creation. That's way out there, guys, right? When I start saying that, that's when I get the glaze. You died, and you were raised, and it's like, my experience doesn't tell me that. That's not what my experience tells me, that I died with Jesus. And this is what it's telling me, though. This is what it's telling me, that when he died, I died, and I was raised as a new person. Let me show you this little thing on the board. If everybody can see this, I'll just show you this. This isn't my big diagram for the night, so don't think this is the big diagram, because it's not. I know you're thinking it. Okay? When I was born, let's just go this way, okay? When I was born like this, I was born in Adam. I was born connected to him spiritually. And he was separated from God, so I was born broken. I was born that way. So I developed this thing. The scripture calls this the flesh. The scripture calls this my selfish nature. This is my way. Mine looks like mine looks, and you're going to see it if you hang out with me. It'll raise its ugly head sometimes. And this is the way I figured out how to get my needs met. I need love, and this is how I'm going to get it, right? I need acceptance in the world, and this is how I'm going to get it. I need to be important. I have to be important. I'm born to be important, and this is how I'm going to get those needs met. I need these things. They're not wants, they're needs. And unless I'm choking on a steak or something, that's what I'm concerned with, is my worth as a person. If I'm choking on a steak, I'm worried about my physical needs and dying, right? But as soon as I'm okay physically, heart rate's okay, my wind, nothing's obstructed, now am I loved? Now it's about that. Am I okay as a person? Am I accepted? Am I important in this world? And this right here is what I developed. This guy developed a way to get those things met. And it comes out in many, 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 many different ways. And this is what God did about my problem. It's a very violent answer. This is God's recovery program. True story. He kills Stan. He killed me, right? He put me on the cross. And I died. Never to be seen again. Gone. How many people saw a dead person sin before? Right? No one. Dead people don't sin. This is the whole point of Romans 6. Dead people don't sin. Right? It says, how can you go on and sin? You died. Right? This is really the radical statement. But see, dead isn't a problem to God. God's all about life. And if my problem was death and it coming out in death, his answer is life. And he gives me more and more life. So guess what he did? When Jesus came out of the grave, he raised me up and I was born again. Check it out. And he put a brand new person in Christ, one with Jesus, a supernatural Son of God, I was raised brand spanking new. I'm a brand new person. I am a high, high being. I'm an eternal being. Guys, I'm a brand new creation, never been seen before. I'm part of a race that this world's never seen before the resurrection. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. I don't know. I think those are going to be my last words or something. I can't stop saying it. I can't stop just being blown away. The pearl of great price that's been handed us, what we've been given. But see, here's the problem. Look at what I still got. I still got all my memories. I got all my history, all my habits that I developed. The old me developed, the old person I used to be developed, all these ways of thinking, all these ways of operating, all these ways of getting my needs met. And this guy's saying, Stan, check it out. You don't need that anymore. You don't need that stuff anymore. Because God wants to live through me as me. Through me as me. All last week, I'm walking around the kitchen doing my thing because I'm a really good husband, saying, he's springing out through me as me. If Jesus were to show up on this planet as me, what would he be doing? I need to be thinking about that. What would he be doing as me? And I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that very, very thing. What would he do as you, right? See, check it out. What do? Keep on sinning? So God can keep forgiving? If we left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we live in our old house? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? This is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we come up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we're raised up, it's like the resurrection. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. Our old way of life was nailed to the cross. See? A decisive end to that sin-miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this. We get included in Christ's sin's conquering death. We also get included in his life-saving resurrection. Okay, he goes on here to say this. This means that you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with the old way of life. Throw yourself wholeheartedly, full time. Remember, you have been raised from the dead. If you believe that you've been raised from the dead, what do you have to first believe? That you died, right? God believes that you died, so much so he buried you, right? And then he raised you up as a brand new creation. Now, I'm pretty blown away at this, and my wife and I spend a lot of time talking about this and looking at this in many different ways, and I think it's pretty cool. But we're talking about this focus. I want to show you this. Let me show you this one passage in Hebrews. And this is a list of the people of faith that leaned into this thing of salvation. And he talks about people like Abraham, Enoch, Sarah, Noah. And he said each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How'd they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they're looking for a true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back any time, but they were after a far better country than that, heaven country. And you can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. Guys, when you were born into this new way of living, it's like you were born into this world with sealed orders. and it is our highest privilege to unseal them, to go after these orders, to go after what it is that I've been called to do and to be. What do I get to be, God? God, what do I get to be? I'm a brand new creation. I'm your son. What do you got for me, right? It is our greatest privilege to unseal these blasted orders. I want you to know, someone like John Robbins. John Robbins was set to inherit the world's largest ice cream company, Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors. Grew up swimming in an ice cream cone-shaped swimming pool, right? He was set for life, going to inherit it. But what did he do? He observed what was happening to his family. He saw the health problems that ice cream caused. He watched the men in his family fall and die at a very young age. He watched the chemicals they put in ice cream. And he began to unseal. He began to see way off in the distance his orders. There was something way different than what the easy life could have been. And John Robbins is now an amazing leader in health and environment. He wrote a book called The Diet for a New America that would just blow you away. He's an incredible human being. He moved into a little cabin and he lived on less than $500 a year as he began to study diet and lifestyle and the causes of disease and what we could do about it. His highest privilege was to unseal his orders and his mission in life to a hurting world. And he saw it. He saw it, guys. He saw it, right? All right, how about this? It almost doesn't fit, but Walt Disney, 5 years after his death, the grand opening of Disney World, and someone said to his wife, "Too bad Walt's not here to see this." And what did she say? "He saw it way before we did. That's why it's here." Amazing response. He saw it in the distance. I love that kind of stuff. All right, guys, let's check this out. This came from a coaching program that I look at and that I love. It really challenges me sometimes. Let's just see this really quick. This is going to go zero, and this is going to go all the way here to, let's say, 100. Nowadays, in this world, we just watched a thing last night where the longest-lived people on the planet right now, the longest-lived group of people, is actually the Seventh-day Adventists because of their diet. They eat a plant-based diet. Pretty cool stuff. We're into that. We love that stuff. So what they're talking about is, with today's medicine, with today's findings, with today's understanding of diet and lifestyle, it's not way ridiculous to imagine you could live to be 100. So that's what this coaching thing is based on, is living to 100 years old. And I think this is awesome. I think this is wonderful. Because we meet a lot of discouraged people. We meet a lot of people that say, "My life is over. I've been through this many divorces. I've been arrested this many times. I've got this kind of brokenness." And they basically just feel like their life is over. In fact, when we were looking at this, a lady that was doing it basically said, you know, all her kids moved out, her husband had died, and she felt like she was just waiting to die. However, you look at this, and let's go with Kaylin, right? How old are you, Kaylin?
25.
So based on this scale here, how many years do you have left to live? 75 years. That's pretty amazing. So 75 years. That's a long time. All right, how about you, Bobby? Can we pick on you? How old are you? 23. That's amazing. 45. So what do you got on this scale? 55 years. Okay, 55 years. Guys, all right. I'm kind of with Bobby here. I turned 50 years old this year. Okay? I'm basically was telling my wife, you know, how's it going to end for me? I'm ready to pick out my last rocking chair. I'm already picking the spot on my porch where I'm going to wear the grooves out. You know, I'm just kind of ready to start smacking my mouth in a way that's annoying to everybody. You know, whatever that's about. Start kind of doing some stuff like that. I mean, I'm ready to do that, right? Guys, I was looking at this and I'm going, all right, according to this, what do I got left? Let's see. Must not be much. Must be a crumb. 50 years. 50 years. Wow. You know, I better figure some stuff out. That's a whole life. Right? And I want you guys to know something. I was very, very encouraged by this. And I do want you to know, when you're looking at this, I want you to do the math on yourself here and look at this, because this is like owning property. That's like owning property, guys. This is property. 50 years, what am I going to build? What's it going to be? How do I see it going? Okay, 50 years, most of it for me, I was a drug addict. Ripping people off, lying, cheating, stealing, getting divorced, getting arrested, all these things. Okay, none of those things are going on. My head's somewhat clear. I got 50 years to lean into the pearl of great price. I can lean into some stuff. Man, we can do some serious damage in 50 years. We can do some serious work. Wow, that's encouraging. What are we going to build? 50 years. I'm like, me and you, God, 50 years. Let's do this thing, right? Let's do this thing. We're only getting started, right? And I throw my rocket chair in the fire pit and burn it up. No more smacking the lips. All right, maybe I'll smack the lips. I like that. All right, so in this thing, we got right here, we got past you, right? And then on this line, we got the now you. And then way up here, off in the distance, we got future you, right? You could go way up there and say, you will see God. We could put you there. And that's pretty cool stuff, too. I like this. For people listening to the podcast, so I got past me, right now me, future me, and that's you, too. I want to live from the past. This is me right now. This is me right now. I want to live from the past. My brain wants to live from the past. Why? Because it's safe. It's what I know. It's what I've learned. I want to live from the past, right? It's familiar. We want to recreate. And we talked about this before, handing out a piece of paper. What are you going to draw? You're going to probably draw what you've always drawn, because that's what we do. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to take what I drew here and create it here, and I'm going to recreate it here. That's what we naturally do. And that's why looking at this is so important. I got 50 years. Do I want to recreate from here? Stan doesn't want to recreate from here, right? What if we live from the past always, like all the time? Why should I learn how to walk? I never walked before. I've never needed to walk. Right? That's what I could tell myself. I always lived from the past. I'm talking about when I was a baby. Okay? You're all looking at me like, huh? You never walked before? All right. Why should I learn to drive a car? I never drove before. That's never worked for me before. Never had needed that before. Why should I learn how to drive a car? Right? Never been able to lose weight. Why should I be able to lose weight now? Never been able to quit smoking. That's never worked for me. Why should it work for me now? You can go on. You see what I'm saying? I've never been able to stop worrying. That's something I've always done. That whole I can't is always coming from the past. That's past language. That's always past language. I can't do it. That's all based on what? The past. I've never been able to. I can't do it. That's all past me, right? I like that. Now, I want to tell you guys, this is the honest truth. The 5 years ago me, 5 years ago, me and my wife, okay, I'm living today, we are living right now today in a way that would absolutely astonish 5 years ago me. Astonish. I mean, I'm telling you the honest truth. I am living a life here right now that this 5 years ago me would have been like, what? What? That's your life? Like, that's amazing. Like, that's incredible. You're living what? You're doing what? Like, that's amazing. 10 years ago, my eyes will just pop out, right? 10 years ago, were to tell me, this guy, what this guy was going to be doing, I would have honestly been doing like somersaults and cartwheels, backflips, all that stuff. It would have been absolutely amazing. Now, if I could right now write a letter to 5 years ago me, actually sit down and pen a letter. Dear Stan, okay? I want you guys to know I could give 5 years ago me dynamic advice, powerful advice, very clear, very direct, very detailed, amazing. In fact, right now me could be an incredible mentor to 5 years ago me. Not a doubt about it. I would love that. If he would have read it and believed it, really took it to heart. I love this kind of stuff, guys. I really do. If I were to look at him and go, Stan, I want you to fully identify with me. I'm your future. You're going to be me. I want you to identify in every way with me, and I want you to stop identifying with back here. Let that go. You need to let this heal. You can't live out of this. I want you to live for me, like who I am now. This is pretty cool stuff. I'm not talking down about healing, about trauma, about wounds, about all that stuff. Super important. That's part of it. No doubt about it. Now, the cool thing is, when you get a letter right now from future you, this is the cool stuff. If this guy were to sit down and pen a letter to right now me and go, dude, I want you to know something. I'm going to give you some advice. Here's how I want you to think. This is what I want you to embrace. This is what I want you to let go of. This is what I don't want you to be entitled to. Don't feel entitled to these behaviors. I want you to embrace these behaviors. You guys kind of get what I'm saying, right? Future me could be a powerful mentor. And I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I get the best advice from future me that I almost get from anybody. That's true. That's super, super true. We spend a lot of time thinking about future me and where this guy's coming from. I love the story about a guy who, his family, I told you guys this before, but maybe you guys were, some of you were probably awake when I said it, and some of you are asleep now, so maybe half of you will get it, and I can tell it again in a couple weeks. This guy was a smoker, and he suffered huge, huge problems from smoking. He was in the hospital. His family's around him, right? They said, Dad, stop smoking. You got to stop smoking, Dad. Please stop smoking, Dad, right? This is true. He said, guys, family, children, I'm a smoker, and I'm always going to smoke. Deal with it. He had a stroke while he was in the hospital. When he came to, guess what he forgot? That he was a smoker. I love it. I love it. I love it because I know future me loves to mess with that and say, Stan, there's some things you can forget. You can forget that you are some things, and I want you to do that very thing. I want you to do that very thing because it shows where addiction is. It shows where these things lie, and it's very powerful. Now, I'm going to tell you something about future you, and I want you to hear this. I'm almost done here. I want you to hear this from the bottom of your heart. I've been loving these Beatitudes very much, guys. What's coming in the future here, what we're coming into, I just am so excited about in the realm of recovery. But I want to tell you guys something, and you're going to glaze over when I say it. You're going to do that glaze, that, you know, half eyeball shut thing on me when you hear this. But I want you to hear it in the bottom of your heart. Okay? This is true stuff about you right now and about future you. Okay, here it is. You are Jesus. Okay? You're Jesus. Now, before you throw something at me, I want to tell you. See this finger? This finger is a very important part of me. It's not all of me, but it's me. I use this finger for stuff, right? In fact, if you held this thing down and hit it with a hammer, the rest of me is going to scream, right? My finger says, hey, I'm Stan Bourne. I'm a part of Stan Bourne. I'm an important part of Stan Bourne. What Stan Bourne's doing, I'm doing. What he's about, I'm about. That makes me pretty important. And I want you to know something. I am an important member of the body of Jesus. And what the world's going to experience, when the world experiences Jesus, he's going to use you. When the world wants to meet Jesus, he's going to introduce them to you because you are him. You are members of his body. And I want you to know that makes you very, very important. This finger doesn't worry about where it's going, what it's doing, how it's going to get there, how it's going to be provided for, because I take care of that. I make sure it goes where I want it to go, gets where it's going to get, and it's all snuggled in at night and all taken care of. I make sure of that. I'm really good to it. You're like, Stan, that's weird. If you kept going, it could get really weird. What does future me think about? Now, I know this doesn't go but only so far, but I want to say this just to challenge, because I travel in addiction circles, and there's ways that we accept thinking that I don't want to just accept, okay? But I know that there is a reality, okay, to our flesh, to our selfish nature. I get that. But, you know, what is this guy thinking about is what I want to know. What is he thinking about? What is future you thinking about? And I like to kind of see it this way. And again, this comes from a coaching program that I'm part of that I love very much. Okay, a person that's naturally thin, what are they thinking about? I don't know, but they're not thinking about their weight. Why? They're naturally thin. People that struggle with their weight are thinking about their weight. Does a person that doesn't struggle with drug addiction, what are they thinking about? They're not thinking about drugs, I know that. I don't know what they're thinking about, but they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about something else, like what they want to think about, right? Do you guys get what I'm saying? And so when I think about future me, the out there me, the one that's writing me a letter, saying, Stan, I want you to know what you're not thinking about anymore, right? I want you to know what you are about right now. I want you to know what your mind is set on right now, because it's none of those things. It's certainly not what it was down here when you were way down here. That's not where your head is anymore. And so I love to challenge myself with that kind of thinking, that I don't want to think the way I thought before, and I don't want to create out of my past. And how is God going to get me from right now here to here? And here's the stuff, the pattern to look for. Look for this pattern. God is very, very fond of using the pattern of death and resurrection. It's one of his favorite ways. He uses it all the time. Death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. It's how he gets us from here. Death, resurrection. Death, resurrection. Death, resurrection. That's how he does it in us. And I know for me to get to future me, he's going to require of me, Stan, we're here once again. Will you trust me? Will you do it? Will you lay down and will you die so I can resurrect you once again? And I promise you'll look more like me when you come up. He's done it over and over in my life. And it's a miracle every day. The transfiguration was actually a beautiful picture of Jesus giving them a glimpse into future Jesus. He let them climb a mountain and get a glimpse of future Jesus, a future them, a future, a dimension we have hardly any idea what it's going to be. But it's going to be awesome. and I'm terribly excited about it. Let me close out with this last passage here, and I'll pray and let you guys go. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth, and I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out. Experience the breath. Test its length. Plumb its depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know. This is future me talking to me now. I hope this is future you talking. See future you, turn around and say this. God can do anything, you know, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. That's our Father. That's our God. That's powerful. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That pure, unmixed focus of the kingdom of God going for it with all our hearts. Thank you guys very much. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this group tonight. And I just want to thank you for the magnificent work. I pray that each one of us would actually just get a glimpse of future us, of what is in your heart for us to be, and the property that you've given us to build on in our futures, and to grab it with all our hearts, this pearl of great price called the gospel. It's really, really good news, and it's really, really true. And it's really, really right now. In Jesus' name, amen.